I would ask you, as you are able to rise for the reading of God's holy word. If you cannot stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the letter of Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 9, the word of the most holy God says this: "But as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor human heart conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God. We are bestowed on us by God, and we speak of words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them. They are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things. They are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Today we're talking about discernment. Let's make sure we're on the same page. What does it mean to discern? Comprehend, to understand. What else? Well, apparently I needed to do this sermon for sure. All right, discernment. It is the ability to understand. It is the ability, though, to see clearly, too. It's the ability to be able to tell the difference between this thing and that thing. Discernment. It's a part of our decision-making process. Now, we make dozens, if not hundreds, of decisions every day, don't we? Now, most of those decisions are inconsequential. You know, what am I going to wear today? Should I fill up with gas today or will it wait till tomorrow? I hate filling up with gas, so that's a big one for me. But inconsequential as long as it's not on empty. All those little things that as we pile them up day after day become our lives. Just those decisions that we make. And then there's some decisions that are, you know, important decisions. Decisions like Melissa made today. Melissa made an important decision today. She made a decision to become a part of this fellowship, to be a part of the family of this church. She made a important, what I think, vital decision. And a great deal of trust in that she is trusting us to help nurture her and her children in the way that leads to life eternal. Now that is an important decision. And we make lots of important decisions. Sometimes they may not seem important. They may not show up to important till later. But we make important decisions. And then we make decisions that are life-changing decisions. Sometimes a life-changing decision can start out looking inconsequential, or it can look important. But I'm talking about the ones that are obviously life-changing when we make the decision. Whether or not to get married, that is a life-changing decision. Whether or not to have children, that's a life-changing decision. Life-changing decisions are those that once you make them, life is different and will never be the same. And all the people who had children said, amen. particularly those that have as many as Ruth Ann. We're not going to go there. We have all of these things that we decide every day, but we use the same things to make all of these decisions. We use the same process for all of them. We use logic and reason. Logic and reason are good things. I like logic and reason. Back when I was writing computer programs, which was way back in the dark ages, when you were writing programs in BASIC, you had what we called if-then statements. If this is true, then that is true. If all dogs are black and brown and Cuddles is a dog, then Cuddles is black and brown. And for those of you who can see this picture, that indeed is Cuddles. The cute one. He said, which one? So with logic and reasoning, now, logic, I'm all for logic and reasoning. I'm all for it. I think that God gave us a mind. He intended us to use it. He intended us to use it in the right way. But herein lies the problem with logic and reason alone is sometimes, since it depends on facts, sometimes our facts aren't right. In the statement that I have up there, if all dogs are black and brown, well, we already know that all dogs aren't black and brown. Some dogs are tan or cream. I used to have a dog that was red clay colored because that's where she played. I'm not sure what color she really was. Our facts can be wrong. And sometimes our reasoning is faulty. You know, something can sound right based on the facts of the day and what they truly believe scientifically. At one point, people thought the world was flat and that if you went too far, you would fall off. That fit their facts and it seemed logical. But we know that's not true. So, like I say, logic and reason, by all means, use it. But it's not perfect. Well, we have another part that we throw into our decision making, and that is our emotions. Either how we are feeling right now or how we want to feel. We make our decision on, like, you know, if I'm in pain right now, then I want to do something to alleviate that pain. And sometimes I might do anything to alleviate that pain. And the anything may or may not be a good thing to do. But see, my emotions are involved. I just don't want to feel pain anymore. And emotional pain hurts a lot more than physical pain. And I just don't want to be in pain, so I want to do something else. Now, suppose I'm happy. I want to stay happy. So I don't want anything to interfere with happy. So I'm going to avoid those things that maybe I should do because it interferes with my happy. Think about it this way. Think about those persons who don't want to get a job because they want to loaf. I mean, that's really the reason. You know, I did not move out of my parents' house until I got married because I wasn't stupid. I knew when I had it good. You know, I got to use my money for whatever I wanted it for. I could go buy clothes or shoes. I could, you know, go to the movies and all that stuff. I knew that once I moved out on my own, because my parents made it perfectly clear that that was it, that once I moved out, I was going to have responsibility. Ooh, what was up with that? And I knew that that responsibility was going to be there and it was going to interfere with my happy. So I stayed, you know, as long as I could. Because I did not want to do what I needed to do to grow up. I did. I didn't enjoy it. No, I'm kidding there. I actually did enjoy it, because with the responsibility also came different kinds of freedom and a feeling of self-worth and taking care of things and, you know, all the stuff that goes with it. So it was a good thing. But if I had made that decision strictly on my emotions, I would still be living there. Because our emotions can be very powerful motivators, but they're not always our best decision makers. Right? They're not always our best decision makers. Of all the things we use to make a decision, emotions should be the lowest on the totem pole, because they're so changeable. We make a lot of decisions on how we have done things before. You know, the old, we've always done it that way. You don't get up in the morning and decide how you're going to go to school or work or how you're going to get to the store. You go the same route. You don't make that decision. You don't go a different way every day. You don't pull out the map and say, let me explore something new. You're just going to get to work. So you get in your vehicle and you drive that same path. Sometimes I do the same thing so much. I am so used to coming to church that when I pull out of my driveway, sometimes I turn toward the church, even when that's not where I'm going. I need to be going in the other direction, but I turn the way I'm used to, because, folks, we do things the same way over and over. Now, that's good. If we had to invent a new way to tie our shoes every day, we'd never get anything done. But if we get so much in a rut that we can't see or try new things, if we only see our decision-making process in one way, this is how you make the decision. If we don't look outside the box, we can get stuck in a rut. And ruts aren't good, because eventually they get so deep you can't see out of them. So, logic and reasoning are good. Emotions are good. The traditional way that we've done things, the way that we do things, the patterns are good. But by themselves, we'll never make the best decision. The scripture that we had today tells us that we also need to be led by the Spirit, because the Spirit of God allows us to discern, to perceive rightly, to know the difference between what is good and what is best. Discernment. It's an important part of the process. The Holy Spirit talking to our spirit. That is perfect decision making, or as perfect as we can get. Because even with everything, sometimes the emotions particularly, or our reasoning, will get in the way. But discernment, the power of the Holy Spirit, will allow us to live a better life. You know, we have a physical world and a spiritual world, right? Physical world you can see. The spiritual world you cannot. The more attuned you are to that world that you cannot see, the more peaceful, joyful, and content you will be in the world that you can see. It is so important to be in touch with the Spirit of God, not just to rely upon ourselves. Now, so far, there's not been a whole lot that you didn't already know. But let me ask you this question. If you really feel that you've got a handle on that, and, you know, you and God, You know exactly what he's thinking all the time. Let me see, Hen. Well, mine is just up there for an example. You know, I don't always know either. But I tell you what, this is what we're going to do. Next week, I am going to teach you ways that you can tune your spirit to the Spirit of God. And no, you're not going to come and hear, you know, read your Bible and pray. You already know that. That helps tune your spirit to God. We're going to talk about some other ways that you can hear God's voice and know that it's God's voice. You up for that? That means you have to be here next week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.